Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Beth Below, and you're listening to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me today. What do you do when you have a huge aha moment and have no idea how to make it happen? You draw on your passion and you find great people to support your dream. That's what Amy Lawrence did. And in this edition of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast, she shares her story and lessons learned along the way about being an introvert owning a brick and mortar business. Amy is an example for women who have had many successful careers in life. With a master's degree in special education, she taught for 11 years before she turned to becoming a business owner. In 2003, she decided to pursue her passion and opened her tea room, An Afternoon to Remember. Her tea room won many awards, including Best Small Tea Room in the U.S. In 2009, she closed her tea room in order to pursue her online company, Afternoon to Remember Fine Tea. Amy has published 8 books and sold over 12,000 copies. She is currently working on several new projects, including resources for tea room owners and starting a new company called Treasured Leaf. Hi, Amy. I am so excited to have you on today's podcast. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for asking me.
Well, I want to dive right in because you had an aha moment around your professional path. And that aha moment resulted in the opening of a tea room. And I'm wondering what came before that moment and then what happened after it?
Well, it really was an aha moment for me. I'm really a planner. All my life I wanted to be a special ed teacher. And so I went to college, got my master's, and taught special ed for 11 years. But I'd taken 2 years off to be home with my kids. And I found that I was getting antsy and going stir crazy. And my mom and I had gone to tea at this little tea room, and right in the middle of the tea, I just had this, this is what I want to do. This is my next big project. And I had been a manager of a gift shop when I was in college, and I loved to cook. That was like still is one of my big passions. And so it seemed like putting those two things together, and so that's what happened. I from that moment on, it was like nonstop planning. It took me about a year. And then I finally opened in August of 2003. So very exciting. But I am not really I'm really the planner and not the aha moment, but it really was an aha moment for me, I have to say.
Yeah, and it sounds like when you had that moment, and since you were a planner before, I'm guessing those planning skills came in handy that let you, you know, launch this thing. I mean, a year sounds really fast to me.
Well, it was very fast. But, you know, the thing is, because I am such a planner, everybody thought I was nuts, including my mother, because usually I talk about it, and we do all this planning, and I did plan it, but, I mean, just the idea of it was just so, you know, sporadic for me. So
yeah,
definitely.
And you were in California at the time, right?
Yes, I was, yes, definitely.
Yeah. And so you planned, you, sounds like you went into overdrive.
Definitely.
And over the course of a year, you got everything together and you opened up your tea room. And
yes, and, you know, I went to a tea school on how to open a tea room, actually, first. It was in Florida. And then I started really, I think it was November when I thought of the idea. And then, you know, by January, I actually had a building rented. But the permits took forever. And I have to say, because I am an introvert, and then also, because I was a woman, I had no idea really what to expect, with this whole, you know, starting a business and getting the permits necessary to get it going. And, you know, I really did learn that at least in California where I was, it was a good old boys game, and it was very intimidating for me. I thought I could just draw up my own plans for we had to remodel a commercial kitchen, and my contractor had said, oh yeah, you know, kind of figure out what you want to do and draw up your plans for the permit department. And I took them in there, and I have to say, the inspector barely even looked at him, and then he said, oh, this is all wrong. Nope, you're going to have to hire an architect. This is not going to work. And then they sat on him forever. He actually made me cry at the office. And I do cry, but I'm not, that was just like so, I have to say, so intimidating for me. And so I went back to my little empty building, and I cried some more, and then I called my contractor, and he was so great, and he said, oh, I've got somebody in mind. He'll work as an architect, and he won't charge an arm and a leg, and we'll get this, don't worry. And And so finding a good contractor was a key component for me. You know, somebody who could also be my advocate, because I had no idea what I was doing. When I started.
Where else did you find support?
Well, you know, actually, my mother is a huge extrovert, and so she was a huge supporter of me. She helped me do, we did little events at the beginning before we opened, because I actually rented the building in January, but because they sat on the permit so long, we actually didn't open until August. And so that's a long time to go without money. And so I was doing little things like strawberry festivals and just anywhere where I could have a little booth. And I was so happy that my mother was helping me, because she is definitely an extrovert, and so just her personality tended to draw people into the booth and talk to them, and so support definitely from my family and my friends as well too, for sure.
So speaking of being an introvert, and it sounds like, you know, what you had to do, you really were, you know, you were, it sounds like you were really driven by your passion and by this idea.
Oh, I was, and you know, I think if I had to. Sometimes I look at it and I think, gosh, I can't believe I ever did that. I mean, it's just, it was passion driven, totally, for sure.
So what was it like to be an introvert and to have that, not only a brick and mortar business, but also it sounds like, you know, you're going out to the farmers markets and the fairs and events and, you know, always having to put yourself out
there. Yeah, you know, that part seemed okay, I think, because the passion part was driving me. I was so excited about what I was doing, and you know, people come up one-on-one, and I'm great in one-on-one situations for the most part. And so that part was really good. But what was really hard for me, though, was marketing. I wasn't comfortable about talking about my business to other business owners at first. And so my first year, one of my customers had mentioned a networking group, and so she invited me to go. And I went, and I really connected with the founder. And she's also an introvert, actually. And that night I joined, and that whole marketing networking group really helped me feel confident about talking about my business. It was very structured, so you didn't feel like you're just going to this event and you don't know anybody and you don't know what to say. It was very structured, so there's no time to worry about what to say, really. So that was probably one of the best things I ever did was to join a networking group. For my business. It totally helped, for sure.
And it sounds like it was definitely part of that support network that you had,
definitely.
You know, with your family and friends, those
definitely,
colleagues.
Definitely, for sure. And then, you know, I mean, as far as a business owner, I mean, I've learned every lesson in the book there can possibly be, it seems like anyway. You know, you don't hire friends, you don't hire family, and I did them all, and, you know, I regretted a lot of that. But the day-to-day dealing with customers, you know, was pretty good for me. I did hire an extrovert manager, who later I was open for 7 years, so later in the, probably year four or five. And that really, helped. It helped for sure. But I figured out too that it was easier when I would establish a policy. And so if people didn't like something or people wanted something, like wedding parties, they tended to want certain things. And when I had policies in place, I felt like that helped me deal with that. I didn't have to come up with it on the spot. I could just say, this is our policy, this is what we do. And it just really helped me feel better about things.
Well, I'm guessing that was part of taking care of your energy, making sure that you weren't spreading yourself too thin or having to reinvent the wheel all the time.
Definitely, for sure. And that really helped. And then the other thing that I did was, the best thing I really ever did is I split up my tea room into three different parts. And so I had the kitchen staff, the tea room staff, and then I had the gift shop staff. And so by making a manager of each of those areas, I only had three managers that reported to me. And so it just made my life so much easier, because at one point I had 15 staff, and that's a lot. It's a lot of people to deal with, a lot of drama, and they were all women, you know, and so it was really, that was probably one of the best things I ever did, because I could, you know, it was easier for me to manage just those three people. And, you know, not that I didn't talk to everybody, because I did, but when people had a problem, they went to the manager first, and then the manager came to me, and then it just worked out really well that way. And made me stronger. the one of the hardest things, though, I have to say, was firing somebody. I've actually fired more than one person, but I had to fire my cook once, and that was just like the hardest thing. But it was really, it was a good opportunity for me, and it made me a stronger person. That was very, very nerve-wracking. I still feel nervous about it, even to this day.
What would you say to somebody who is in a similar situation of having to reprimand or fire someone that would be helpful to them?
You know, I think to write it all out, like what you're going to say, just so you have it kind of in your head, you have it in mind. And then for me, I don't know, for some reason when I was in the process of doing it, it was almost like an out-of-body kind of experience. I looked at it as, I'm not going to take this personal. You know, this is just how it is. It's not working out for us, and it's not working out for her, and she doesn't want to be here if it's not working out either. And it was almost like I looked at it from a different perspective. I didn't take it personal. So the whole process actually went really well. It was being nervous about it before was hard. But after the whole thing and during the whole talk that we had, I actually felt pretty calm because, I don't know, for some reason I was starting to look at it from a different perspective. Not personal, just from this isn't working out, and it made things a lot easier. So I'd say don't get so involved in all the drama and just look at it from from an outside perspective, I guess.
Because we can layer a lot of emotion on top of things. And
definitely.
If we stick to the facts, that enables us to detach a little bit so that we can approach it a little more objectively and mm-hmm. take some of that emotion out.
And I guess that's what happened. And I didn't plan on it. It's just all of a sudden I kind of just got this calm feeling. It just worked. And I thought, oh wow, this is good. It was very scary to do, but it was good and it was very necessary. She was kind of a negative person, and once that negativity was gone, it made a whole difference in all of the staff. So it was definitely a good move for all of us involved.
So it sounds like you, like you said, if there was a lesson to be learned, you learned it.
Like it, yes.
You experienced a lifetime probably in those 7 years. And so I'm curious about how did that experience and what you learned inform what your business looks like today?
Well, I have to laugh because now I'm back to being a one-woman operation, so I don't know what that says about being an introvert, but I actually didn't close it for that reason. I'm a military brat, and so I'm kind of used to doing things. Well, I was used to moving every 3 or 4 years until we lived in California, and then we lived there for 12 years. And so I needed something new, I think, and the tea room really was zapping all of my energy, I have to say. Having 15 staff and I don't know, it's just a lot of overhead, and I wasn't doing what I really felt like it wasn't fun for me anymore. And so I stepped back because I wanted to work on my online tea business. And that really was the best thing that really happened. Because now I have the confidence from owning the brick and mortar company, but I also am, I feel like I'm more in control of things. So I guess that's the best way to say it. But at the same time too, I found when I was dealing with people every day at the brick and mortar business, you do build up that confidence and you do get used to talking to people all the time. And now that I'm not doing that, I really have to force myself to get out there because, you are your own advocate for your business. I mean, you can have employees and they can say how great your business is to other customers, but really you're the one that represents your business. And so you do need to get out there and you do need to be the one, making the connections with people, at least initially. But really it is important for you to force yourself to get out there and do it because you're what drives your business.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I've heard some business owners, especially in the beginning, and whether they're introverts or not, I don't know, but expressing some of that frustration about how much energy it takes to get out there in the marketing piece, and I wish somebody else could do this for me.
And they just can't. I mean, mm-hmm. they can't represent you the way you represent you.
Right.
I don't know. I found that a lot, and even with the tea room, we got so busy doing, we had the online, we had a whole bunch of different, we wrote cookbooks and things, and And so I wasn't always out there talking to the customers. I kind of, you know, would be a little hermit sometimes in my office. And the customers would say, oh, where's Amy? You know, they really do want to see you. They really do want to connect with you. So you do need to go out there sometimes because you're the one that represents your business. But at the same time, too, you need to plan on how there's a lot of people. So you need to plan times when you can be alone and recharge. And I used to get away whenever I could. I would plan it ahead of time. But I love to go to Monterey, Carmel, California is a beach. And sometimes I would go by myself. Typically, we were closed on Sunday and Monday, so I would leave Sunday morning early, and I'd drive out there, and I'd just stay by myself out there and just kind of recharge and journal and write in my book and read a book, and so that would recharge me and get totally away from it. I think you have to get totally away from your business sometimes. It gives you a new perspective, but you definitely have to get away sometimes. And then the other thing I did to get energy was, and everybody thought I was nuts, but I used to get to work, you know, I get there at 6:30 or 7 in the morning and people wouldn't come in and, you know, my staff didn't come in until later, because I needed just a couple hours to myself to just organize my thoughts and get myself ready for the day.
It seems like that would get you off to a good start and give you that downtime that you need before everybody descends.
Definitely. And the drive home helped too. It was like a 20-minute drive home, so that was good. I could kind of decompress before I, you know, entered into my family.
Mm-hmm.
So that was good.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a lot, especially you get tired of people sometimes. And I found myself sometimes getting bitter. And so that's when I knew, okay, you need to get away for a little while. And recharge. I think we figured out one time we had 1,000 customers a month that came in, you know, and that's a lot for me, I mean, to deal with and talk to. So it was, I definitely needed to recharge every once in a while.
Do you still feel like you're recovering on some level from all of that?
Yeah, actually, sometimes. It took a little while, too. When I closed the tea room, I really, you know, people wanted to get together, and I just did not. I just wanted to be in my house by myself for a while. So it did take a little while before I got going again, that's for sure.
So what are you excited about now?
Well, now I'm very excited about, I'm splitting my company into another company called Treasured Leaf. And it kind of came about, I've been thinking about it for a couple of years. I wanted to sell more rare teas and fine teas anyway, but I wanted to sell more rare teas and more of the pure tea leaf. A lot of my customers really enjoy the flavored tea, and which I understand that, but I'm really a pure leaf kind of person. And so I've kind of been wanting to split the company into another segment. But then after moving to the Seattle area, I realized at my last eWomen meeting that when you tell people what's the name of your company, and I say an afternoon to remember, they don't connect it with tea anymore. Where when it's a brick-and-mortar business and it was a tea room, then they connected it. Oh, an afternoon to remember. But now it's an online tea business, so they don't make that connection anymore. So I think Treasured Leaf, that's the new name for the new company. I think that'll make a big difference, and it gives me a new direction and a new project, so I'm very excited about it.
Wow.
For sure.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks. So hopefully I'll have it all up and running by June. That's my goal. Right now I'm doing one of those contests online where people submit their designs for a logo. So I'm very excited about that. Every day I get a new logo and then I just get to choose, and by Sunday I should have my logo. So
awesome.
It's kind of a neat idea.
Yeah. And so what will happen to Afternoon to Remember?
Oh, I'll still keep that one for sure because, you know, I have a big branding, in California, and so I will definitely keep that one. And that one will tend to be the flavored tea side and more the afternoon tea side, like my cookbooks that I do. I write afternoon tea cookbooks. So all the things that go along with having an afternoon tea with the little tea sandwiches and desserts and all that company is for those people. And then the new company is more focused on the tea leaf itself. And so all the education about tea, I love to teach about tea. And there's so many different faucets. It's kind of like wine where it's grown and what the elevation is and all that kind of thing. And so I will be focusing, that'll be more the tea leaf itself. So for those people. So hopefully I'll be able to accommodate everybody.
It sounds like, you know, like you said, you've got their cookbooks and you're branching off this other business. Do you have any sort of, have you called on any other sort of formal resources like SCORE or anything like that that have supported you in this business planning?
Not for this business, but for the Afternoon to Remember business, I did at the beginning. Yeah, I did work with SCORE a little bit, with the chamber, you know, different business. Oh, I did this. Oh gosh, that was like one of the scariest things I ever did too. I did this contest. It was Make Mine a Million. And it was a contest, I think it was sponsored through American Express or something, and where people would compete with their business. And if you won, you got all this wonderful marketing help and all sorts of wonderful stuff, free stuff. And so I was accepted into the contest, and I did compete. But the scariest thing I ever had to do with that was to speak to 600 people. I had to give my little spiel about my business. And, oh, my gosh, it was so nerve-wracking. But you know what? That gave me so much confidence after that. I felt like I could talk to a lot, you know, small 20 groups, you know, people, groups of 20 wasn't a problem anymore. So I have to say they really did. They gave you a lot of support, too. And I ended up getting a coach through them also, which was very helpful. I did her for a couple of years through Make Mine a Million. So.
Great.
So definitely look for all the support you possibly can. And not one thing is right for everybody. So SCORE may not be right for you, but maybe something else will be. But help is out there. You just kind of have to look around. And also your peers, too. I mean, I get a lot of help from my professional tea peers through the World Tea Expo and different groups. So, you know, look to your peers for help for sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got a spirit of the collaboration rather than competition when it comes to that.
Yeah, definitely. I'm helping one gal actually right now. She texted me yesterday. She's opening her own. It's an online tea company in California, and so I'm helping her with, you know, who to talk to about getting bags and labels and all that kind of thing. So I do believe in mentoring. I think it's a great thing. I wouldn't be here today without the people that helped me. So I feel like I owe it to them to help other people along as well. Because there's room, you know, there's room for everybody, really.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yeah. It seems like, well, and there can only, you know, tea is something that I'm sure a lot of people are probably just discovering as something that is, as, like you said, as sophisticated as wine in terms of how you can be approaching it and developing, you know, becoming a connoisseur.
Right. And especially in this country. I mean, in England and in Canada, they appreciate it a little bit more, but the U.S. is just now getting into the tea market. We kind of, after the whole Boston Tea Party thing, they, you know, we're definitely a coffee society, so we're just now starting to get into the tea movement.
So any other, you know, maybe bottom line lessons learned or pieces of advice you might have for, especially the introvert who is in that, either online or brick and mortar, you know, whichever one you feel called to.
Well, and I think it's for both of them. You really, you do need to get yourself out there. I mean, sometimes you really have to market yourself, and whether you like it or not. I mean, it's just one of those things that, and the more you do it, the better, the easier it feels on you. I had been away from one of my marketing groups for almost a year. And then when I moved to Seattle, I thought, oh, it's time. I need to get back in it. And I was just kind of dreading that whole experience, even though I'd been with this group for years, you know, 6 years or something. But I just went to my first meeting a couple months ago, and oh my gosh, the opportunities that have just, well, this interview being one, you know, that have opened up. So you really, even though it may not be your thing, just find a group or something to help you, you know, with your business, because really you're the one that drives your business, and they want to be connected to you somehow. So I guess that would be my one thing to tell people.
Great. Thank you. And so when you're trying to balance all of that time that you've putting yourself out there and you're marketing yourself, you're probably going to need some sort of escape to a magical introvert island.
Sounds wonderful. For me, it's Monterey, that's for sure.
Oh, very good. Yeah, it's nice when you can imagine a specific kind of environment. And so I asked all my guests this question, that if you were granted a year's vacation on Introvert Island and you only had room for 3 books, what would you take with you and why?
Well, I tend to be a person who likes to read different things. I don't tend to be a person who rereads things. However, I do have a couple books that I do really enjoy, and I do reread. So I would say I like Martha Beck's Finding Your Own North Star. that book had a great chart in there that helped me through some tough times when I was in the middle of my business. And it helped me about, you know, the transitions in your life. And so anytime I'm in the middle of a transition, I tend to reread that book and get me back on track. So I definitely would take that book. Not that I necessarily would need it on Introvert Island, but you never know, so I think I would probably take that one. And then the other one, right now, so if I was going to the island right now, I would take Wayne Dyer's Excuses Be Gone. I've read that one a couple of times, well, actually more than that. And it's just it's a good one. It helps me stay on track with myself. I tend to not be a victim mentality anyway, but I don't want to ever play that role and get into that role, and I think sometimes we can, and so that one's a good one for me to kind of just make me stay on track. And then the last book I would take would probably be, it would depend on when I was going, but I love learning about new things. And right now I'm into Pilates. And so I would probably take my Pilates book with me so I could practice some of my, even though I didn't have the reformer and all the equipment, I would probably practice some of my Pilates exercises. Or I might, you know, get a book from a friend, from a recommendation from a friend. Because I do like to read new stuff all the time, so I would definitely have a new book with me, and then my two old friends.
Yeah.
I would say.
So you would leave that island. You would be super fit if you took the Pilates.
Well, I don't know about that. But
no excuses.
No, because I probably eat on the island, so probably not.
That's true.
I love food.
Yeah, there would have to be a really good, at least, you know, buffet of some kind of.
Oh, definitely.
Foodie items.
Or I wouldn't want to go.
Exactly.
Sure.
Yep. No one-way ticket for you. It'd have to be round trip.
Yeah, I'm definitely a food person.
Yeah. So how can people learn more about you and Afternoon to Remember and Treasured Leaf?
Well, right now you can find me online at www.afternoontoremember.com. That's my main website. And then this summer, starting June 3rd, I'll be at the Farmers Market in Bothell at Country Village. And I'll be there pretty much every Friday. I think it's from 12 to 6. But there's one weekend. I actually teach classes for the World Tea Expo in Las Vegas, so I'll be gone one weekend in June. But other than that, that's where you can find me. And if you belong to eWomen, I'll be at the networking meetings. And who knows where else you might find me. But check my website because I'll be posting where I am going to be on the website.
And you said that you were hoping that Treasured Leaf would be launched sometime in the summer?
Yes, I'm hoping by June 3rd, June 3rd is when the farmer's market starts, so I'm hoping to have it all launched by June 3rd. My husband is a computer geek, and he's working on my website for me, so it depends on how fast we can put all that together. But I do have the name as treasuredleaf.com, but there's nothing up right at the present time, but
okay.
There will be.
Great. And do you have any presence on Facebook or Twitter or anything where people can find you?
I'm working on that. That's one of those other things that I need to work more on. So I do have accounts, but I don't remember my name. So you can look on my website, and I will get it posted up there. And I am, that is one of my goals for the year, is to start working on the social media parts of things.
Great. Great. Well, it's been wonderful chatting with you, Amy, and I really appreciate the lessons you've learned. I don't think I've, so far on this podcast series, I don't think I've talked with anyone that actually had like a brick and mortar business. And so you're bringing some really wonderful new perspective and lessons learned to folks, and I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you, and thanks for letting me have this opportunity.
This is Beth Below, the Introvert Entrepreneur. I hope you enjoyed this podcast interview with Amy Lawrence. You can learn more about Amy and her delicious teas at afternoontoremember.com. To be notified of future podcasts from the Introvert Entrepreneur, you can subscribe by email, RSS feed, or through iTunes. To find us on iTunes, just type the word introvert in the search bar in the audio podcast section. If you enjoy these podcasts, I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share these interviews with friends, family, and colleagues. You can also find out more about my coaching services, workshops, and speaking engagements at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. And be sure to join us for more community and conversation on Facebook at facebook.com/theintrovertentrepreneur. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you next time.